I'd like to start this morning, though, and go back to this verse in 2 Corinthians 3:4. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest what would happen? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, many of you, all of you, have one birthday. Many of you have two birthdays. Amen? And my second birthday comes up in this month. My wife wasn't even aware of that until I shared that with her last night or this morning. It was actually April 22nd, 1982, in Goose Creek, South Carolina, that the Lord graciously came into my heart and asked me to trust him. And I did. But I want you to notice something about this verse. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. I had 22 years of training in my mind that needed to be changed. Okay? And I want you to consider, as we consider the word this morning, that you are trying to be a witness to many people. And those people have an issue. And that issue is their minds are blinded. And I hope this morning that we can help unlock some keys to evangelism to help you reach them with the authority of the Word of God. Because that's what this is all about. When we boil it all down, it comes down to the very first thing we learn in Genesis when Lucifer came to Eve and he said, Eve, hath God said. And God created everything, the whole universe, everything, so that man can answer that question. Are you going to trust me or not? It's that simple. Are you going to trust the authority of God, his word, or not? And that's what we're going to investigate this morning. By the way, folks have asked me if I can only get one resource, what should I consider? Highly recommend this, the Answers Book. 60 of the most asked questions in 20 different categories inside the book. So a great resource. And then Creation Magazine. I think this had a major influence on my dad. Comes out 4 times a year, written for the local church. No ads in it. Has a kids section. But I would recommend you consider those two resources that are back there. So this morning, I want to go back to do something we did a year ago. I want to go back to talking about examining your worldview. Now, some of you, I was really amazed. There's a man in here this morning. He was here yesterday, and we were setting up books. And he remembered stuff that I preached about a year ago. That's awesome. That's really great. And I just want him to know that really blessed my heart. He knows who he is. And I'm going to do basically the same similar message that I did a year ago. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because this is the critical component that makes us answer the question, why is this important? Okay? And I just spent 2 months in the Philippines, in Singapore, and in Batam, Indonesia. And God showed me that the same gospel is the same everywhere in the world. I've preached it in America. I've never preached it on foreign soil. And I watched God change the lives of hundreds of people. I saw things happen, as many of you know, followed me on Facebook. I saw things happen that I had never seen in ministry ever in my life. I had just read about things that happened to me. For instance, I preached a message in a public school. I'll try to find those slides and show them to you. We had over 550 kids at that meeting. They let me preach for 2 hours, okay? And I started with dinosaurs in the Bible. And in that meeting, things happened that have never happened to me before. This presenter froze with the laser on. It's never happened before. The audio started popping a minute before the invitation. Just pop, 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 pop. The power went out. The power came back on. All in this one meeting. We gave the invitation. over half the people there stood up and trusted Christ. I've never seen anything like that in ministry. But it's because of this. It's not because of me. It's because of this. It's the authority of the Word of God. And God changes lives. He does the work. We give people the truth, but He's the one who does the work. He's the one who comes to your heart, knocks on the door, and says, "Here am I. Will you trust me?" Our job is to deliver the real history of the world in a way that they can understand it. Amen? Because you can't be saved apart from the real history of the world. And it's all about the authority of the Word of God. We live in America. We've got so much Christianity in America. It's amazing. It really is. Bookstores, churches. I mean, have you ever considered how many churches there are? Go to another country and start driving around and you'll realize how many are here. Amen? And I grew up in New England. I grew up in an area where churches used to be Bible preaching, and today there's something else. You know, they're a theater, there's a movie house. It's not what it used to be. And there's a reason that our country is becoming less Christian every day. And it has to do with your worldview. Your worldview. How you interpret the world that you see and you live in. How you interpret it. Why? Because you respond to living based upon what you believe in your heart, which transfers into your mind. The heart of man. What makes you, you? What makes you decide how you live? And you can say it this way: what you believe about your past history will affect how you live in the present. Do you realize that? Amen. I found an old slide I used back in the year 2000, and I thought I'd show it to you. This is one of those slides. Hey, did kangaroos once live in the Middle East? What do you think? Don't know? Not sure? You see, this tests your biblical worldview. Why? Because if I understand the Word of God and I understand its history, then I realize what? God created the world, yes. Then He judged that world with a flood, yes. God put two of every kind of land animal on the ark, yes. Kangaroos are part of those land animals. Where did it land? It landed in the Middle East. Did kangaroos once live in the Middle East? Yes. Did penguins once live in the Middle East? Yes. At one time in the history of the world, every animal used to live in the Middle East. Yes. Some of you are saying, man, I wish those mosquitoes would have stayed over there. Amen. But it's a silly way, but it really does give you an idea of your worldview, how you look at the world that you live in, and how you translate what you see in this world. And there's a worldview called molecules to man evolution. It's humanism, secular humanism. Man determining truth for himself. That's what this is. Are you evolutionized? This again is another slide I found years ago that I used to use. Man determines truth for himself apart from what? Apart from the Word of God. And when you do that, that means nobody owns me. You think to yourself, I'm not accountable, but you are. My life verses are found in the last book of in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, where the Bible says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And I made that my life verses because I need to be reminded about that. Oh, but you're a preacher. Yes, and I'm human. And I'm tempted just like you are. Amen. Every day, every hour. And living a godly Christian life is about yielding every moment of every day and every hour and every minute being yielded to God to do what He would have me to do, not what I want to do. Amen. That's the battle. And that's why your worldview really affects who you are. 1 Corinthians really gives us insight into how people think today outside of the Scripture. I used to be this way. Many of you used to be this way. We need to remember this is how people think who don't know the Lord yet. Why? The natural man receives not what? The things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Whoa. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. He won't understand them because they're spiritually discerned, because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God residing within him. And so he's a man who wanders to and fro in the world, but he's unguided by the Creator. Unguided. And that's what I used to be. I was a natural man. 22 years of training. And how did it happen? We get bombarded with secular humanism all the time. Millions of years and millions of years. Time magazine. Oh, is the Bible fact or fiction? Hey, this was on the front newsstand right at Walmart, right? Why? Challenging people. I don't know. I don't know if you can trust that book, you know. 66 books written a long time ago. I don't know. I think there's a lot of stories in there. You Christians can't defend your faith. Yeah. I wonder, could you answer questions like, where did Cain get his wife? How could God get all those animals on the ark? What about radiometric carbon dating? Is there really a God? Why is there death and suffering? If God is such a loving God, then how come all of this death and suffering is in the world today? I remember back at CMI when I first started working there, that guy down in Australia, Steve Irwin, he died. So we printed an article, a newsletter, very quickly just to say, hey, why is there death and suffering? We sent it out in a little email blast to about 2,000 people. In less than 3 days, it became the number one article we'd ever sent out. Boom, it just blossomed on the internet. Why? Because it was answering the question, why is there death and suffering? And you see, those are all legitimate questions. And the only way you're going to understand how to answer them is you've got to get into what? You got to get into the Word of God. You got to find out what God says about it. And a big part of this is understanding the history of the world. But this type of stuff happens all the time. How often? How about yesterday? Yesterday, article, Daily Mail. Fossils reveal life on Earth bounced back very quickly after the dinosaur-killing asteroid hit 66 million years ago. Here it comes, right? What are they trying to say? Well, you know, that asteroid hit the Earth down there near Mexico and Chicxulub clubs the crater. And this article goes on and on and on stating all these things. So I did what I always do. I looked up Phoebe Weston. What did you do? I looked up who wrote the article. Why? Because a lot of us today, we just read headlines and we don't do any research. And I submit to you, you ought to start doing research, amen? Amen? And this lady here, she's just a script writer. She's not a scientist. That's all she is. And yet she's writing an article with all this science in it. And she hardly knows anything about it. As a matter of fact, you actually see the whole history. You can look it up to see all the articles she's printed. She just gets articles and puts them together to make money. That's it. She doesn't do any research on it at all. And I know that this right here is false. You can go to creation.com. You can read about it. We got plenty of articles on this one. Happens all the time. But this constant barrage of false science happens in our world. You know, they want to tell you to believe that, hey, right here, you know, there was a big bang. And out of that big bang, inorganic materials became organic. Wow. And then over long periods of time, through random and chance processes, it grew into different things. It changed its DNA. It added information and became something more and became something more. That's what I was taught. And because nobody showed me an alternative, that's what I believed. Now that's important. Think about that. No alternative, no reason to believe anything else, right? That's why as a believer, I go out and I talk to people about the world that we live in. I talk about rocks, I talk about plants, I talk about fossils. Why? Because there is a real history to the world. And I want people to understand that this is not it. But this is what's taught in every grade school all the way up through college. How does it happen? Well, they see the Grand Canyon here and they say, well, it took millions of years for that to be made. Why did it take millions of years? Why look in it? It's full of fossils. What do those fossils represent? They represent death, disease, pain, struggle, all these dead things. See, the earth is millions of years old. And if you don't know anything different, that's what you believe. And basically, evolution says science has proven you can't trust the Bible. That's what it comes down to. And so, when we get attacked by these people, we don't realize just what's happening in our worldview and how we're thinking. This is Richard Bozarth, an atheist. He wrote back in 1979, "It comes clear now that the whole justification of Jesus' life and death is predicated on the existence existence of Adam and the forbidden fruit he and Eve ate. Without the original sin, who needs to be redeemed? Without Adam's fall into a life of constant sin terminated by death, what purpose is there to Christianity? None. So where's the attack? The attack is on the authority of the Word of God, specifically the real history of the world and what happened, especially in those first 12 chapters of the book of Genesis. And that's where the attack comes. And it's constant and it's unrelenting. What happens if you take this secular humanistic worldview? Well, almost anything could happen. But this is one man who took the view a little too far. This is Jeffrey Dahmer, one of the worst serial killers in the history of our country. He said, if a person doesn't think there's a God to be accountable to, then what's the point of trying to modify your behavior to keep it within acceptable ranges? That's how I thought anyway. I always believed the theory of evolution is truth, that we all just came from the slime. When we died, you know, that was it. There was nothing. What motivated him to be a mass murderer? His worldview. And you wonder why there's so much activity in our world today that's contrary to the Word of God? It's because the natural man is thinking from a natural man, and he just goes out and does whatever he wants to do. He doesn't consider any accountability at all. And this attack outside in the minds of people affects people. But it also attacks people within the church. Because within the church, we have a bunch of people who think we don't need to worry about what happened in Genesis. We just need to tell people about Jesus. I've had people come up to me and say that. I've had them come up to friends of mine at the other ministries I've been a part of, say the same thing. And they say, well, it's just not important, you know? And then they don't realize the influence of secular humanism on the church. On the 13th and 15th of February, actually this is in 2017, I forgot to change that, there were 341 congregations celebrated the 12th annual Evolution Weekend. Whoa! They got in their churches and they preached evolution and the Bible are absolutely compatible. There are almost 13,500 people that have signed this letter saying they agree with it. These people are supposed to be people that are in the clergy, leadership of Christian / organizations that are supposed to be teaching people about the authority of the Word of God. Is it any wonder we see the church being weakened in our country today? Yeah, it's because we have people like this out there teaching. It's amazing. Barna, back in 2000, said, when asked to estimate the likelihood that they will continue to participate in church life once they are living on their own, the levels dip precipitously to only about one of every three teens. One of every three teens. Another survey was done, said that 88% of children raised in evangelical homes now leave the church at the age of 18, never to return. Why are these young people leaving the church? I'll tell you why. Because they don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. They don't. They don't believe it, they don't put their faith in it, and they're going out in the world looking for something else. That's why they're leaving. And there's a reason it's happening. And I submit to you, one of the reasons it's happening is because their worldview is being influenced by secular humanism and not by the Word of God. One of my preacher friends in the Philippines, during one invitation to a large group of kids, he said this. I'd never heard it before. He said, you know what? Some of you kids need to get your face out of Facebook, and you need to get your face into his book. Amen? Amen? Amen. And I started thinking about that. And I said, you know, It is interesting, if we could have an app that could time you for how much time you spend on your cell phone and then compare it to how much time you spent in the Word of God. Oh, that's too convicting, brother. You shouldn't talk like that. Yeah, I should, because I'm just as guilty as you are, okay? And I don't mean Facebook. I mean all of our time. How much time have you actually spent in the Word of God? It's amazing. The church today doesn't spend hardly any time. If we took a survey amongst you, many of you would be embarrassed. And you know it. And yet you came in today, as I did, to come in here and worship the Lord. He is who He said He is. And yet Monday through Saturday, we don't devote that time to Him at all. We don't devote our mind to Him either. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We don't have that mindset. It's almost like we shut off church, and now I'm going to go live my life. It's not your life. Your life, you're bought with a price when you become a believer. And when you start to learn that, that's when your life will change. That's when you'll start seeing God work in your life and in your affairs like you've never seen before. He's right there. He's always at the door knocking if you don't know Him yet. If you're a believer, He resides within, and He wants to work in you and through you in the life and the journey that you have right now. But that secular worldview, it can take you away from understanding. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I used to read that verse and think, yeah, what can we do? I'll tell you what we do. We rebuild the foundation, amen? We rebuild it. I've been in construction for years. Had my own little company. Was involved in building the Creation Museum heavily. Hey, you can rip up your foundation, folks, and you can pour new concrete, putting new footers, and you can make it work. And that's what we have to do. We got to get back to the authority of the Word of God. You know, turn off, you know, some of this other stuff you've been listening to and turn on BBN. Start following things about the Word of God. Start getting involved in the Word of God in every area and aspect of your life. Jesus said to Nicodemus, if I have taught you of earthly things, Nicodemus, and you believe not, then how are you going to believe when I teach you heavenly things? And there's a lot of earthly things that keep people away from understanding the Word of God. We just dealt with dinosaurs, right? Last hour. Why did I do that? To try to put something in your mind as a buffer against this secular humanism that's lying to you. Because the evidence is crystal clear. Man and dinosaurs live together. Period. That's the answer. And yet you're told, oh, it never happened millions of years, just like that article that we saw a little while ago. This same theme is repeated in John chapter 5, where the Lord said, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, what did he write? First five books of the Bible, which include what? The real history of the world. If you don't believe his writings, then how are you going to believe my words? Why? Because Jesus came. It's predicated upon what happened in Genesis. That's why he came. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Renewing your mind. That's what taking on a biblical worldview means. It's kind of like taking a pair of glasses, and it would be the lens of Scripture, and putting them on over your eyesight and all your senses, and to begin looking in this world through the lens of Scripture, that I might understand what's going on. Because the Bible is the history book of the universe. It really is, and really can be trusted in everything it touches upon. And in that Bible, what do we read? Fantastic verse right here. For by him, who's him? God Almighty. In the beginning, he said, let us, plural, make man in our own image and likeness. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right there at creation, creating Adam, who you and me are all related to through Noah. Amen? And here he is, him, By him were all things created. Where? That are in heaven. Have you seen anything in heaven? Nope, I haven't. But, and that are in earth. Well, I've seen lots of things in earth. Who created them? He did. What did he create? All those things. Things that are what? Visible. This is visible. Yep, that's you're visible. I see you. But you know what? There's also things that are what? Invisible. Maybe the air conditioner's blowing on you. You feel it. Do you realize there's an invisible world? And God created things that are in that invisible world. He talks about them in Genesis and throughout the Word of God. Whether they be what? Thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created. How? By him and for him. Where did I come from? I came from him. Why am I here? Because you were created for him. Oh. Where am I going to go when I die? That's a decision you have to make. Whether you're going to trust him or not. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Amen? Amen. He holds it all together. We live in a world of faith. What do you mean? Well, you came in, you sat down in the pew, you didn't think 1 minute the pew wouldn't hold your weight. You just, whoop, okay, I'm here. That's a step of faith, brother. Amen? Did you see the guys that installed those? No, I'm just kidding. But it was a step of faith. You put all your weight, you took a volitional action, and you said, hold me up. That's what it takes to put your life in the hands of Christ. It's to give up. Someone once said it's like hanging on to an end of a rope. When you reach the end of your rope, let go and let God have control. Why? Because by him all things consist. He holds it all together. That's what the Bible says about the world that we live in. Now, our journey is difficult. We have difficult times. That's true. But all things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. And you'll begin to understand why painful things are actually from the Lord, and he knows what's going on. He's teaching you something. You'll start to understand why there's death and disease and suffering. Why? From the authority of the Word of God. And so that's why it's so important. We learn about the history of the world. God created everything in 6 literal 24-hour days. He rested on the 7th. Why did he do this? Because he wants a relationship with you. He creates Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. There's no sin, no disease, no death, no bloodshed, no suffering. He says, it's very good, it's completed, it's just the way I like it. Then what happened? Lucifer came down and he said to Eve, Eve, hath God said. The minute that happened, she determined truth for herself. She said, God said, the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die, or this serpent is telling me I should probably eat it. You know what? I'm going to eat it. Then she gives it to her husband. Now Adam's got a choice. He can either obey God's word or he can determine truth for himself. What did he do? He determined truth for himself and he ate it. And because of it, the judgment of sin came upon the whole creation. It was a perfect relationship with God. Now that relationship is severed because of man's disobedience. God created man because he wants a relationship with him. He still desires that relationship. And right here during that time, he comes out and he says to Lucifer, hey, he who's coming is going to crush your head. There's somebody coming. There's a redeemer coming. They have children, right? And then one brother kills his brother. Why? Because the one brother, Cain, was supposed to give a sacrifice, and that sacrifice was supposed to have a representation of the shedding of blood. And he didn't put it in his sacrifice. But Abel did. God had instituted this to begin teaching man that a sacrifice is needed, a blood sacrifice. And Cain got so mad, he slew his brother. This sin problem is terrible. Yet, the history of the world is in motion, and God knows exactly what's going on because he holds everything together. Amen? So then what happens? Well, then there's a flood. Why? Because man was so sinful for 1,500 years. And then Noah's on the ark. He gets out of the ark. He starts having children. God judges the world with languages coming into existence. And then time continues on until we get to Christ. Why did Christ come? Because God wants this relationship with man. Amen? That's why he came. And so all of this time throughout history, the foretelling of what was to happen would happen, and now he's here. And then, when he starts his public ministry in earnest, he starts showing people who he is. And he is who he said he is. And then he did what? He went to the cross. Why? To prove he is who he said he is. He's the God-man. He's fully God, and he's fully man. And he has come to be the sacrifice. Why? So that this relationship can be reestablished someday in the future in its fullness. That's who Jesus is. Amen? And that's the real history of the world. But if you don't understand what happened up here, these are all earthly things, okay? If you believe the earth's a big bang, that's how it got here. If you believe that sin didn't come from God's judgment, it's always been survival of the fittest. That's the world that we live in. If you don't believe that there's been a worldwide flood, a judgment that has come from God on sinful man, okay? If you don't believe languages came from God, if you believe they all just evolved as man evolved around the planet, then you're like Nicodemus. Because he said, hey, Nicodemus, if I've told you of earthly things, these are all earthly things, and you believe not, then how are you going to believe when I tell you heavenly things? And that's the connection. And that's why I go around as an evangelist helping people understand what? The earthly things. Why? Because I want them to understand these things. Amen? Amen. This is important. Your life depends on it. Really does. Just remember, every set of eyes, human being eyes that you look at for the rest of your life, those people have an eternal destiny. The question is, what's it going to be? And I wonder how God might use you to take them from where they are and lead them to Christ likeness. And so, we recognize that the Bible, when I look at my world through the lens of Scripture, I can make sense of things like outer space. I can make sense of things like geology. I can make sense of things like the family and morality. Hey, last hour we even looked at dinosaurs. Amen? Why? Because it is the real history of the world. And yet people get caught up in trying to understand the scriptures in a more detailed way because science is constantly put in front of them as something that says, hey, real science has proven you can't trust the Bible. And that's not true at all. It's just the opposite. Science is that part of our world that actually examines what God has done. And it researches it and understands it. And gets that understanding, laws and so forth. They come from understanding our world. We have operational science and historical science. These are the two main areas of science that are important for us to understand, so that we can recognize how this process is used against us as believers of the Word of God. Why? Because in operational science, that's things that happen in the present. You know, they're repeatable, they're observable. I mean, we look at that, you know, Isaac Newton took an apple, right? He kept dropping it and dropping it. It always dropped. What did he understand? He began to understand the laws of gravity. Why? It's repeatable. It's observable. You and I have been blessed tremendously because of operational science. We have glasses, electricity, buildings, building materials, the pews you're sitting on, the clothes you're wearing, the ability to grow food in massive amounts, the ability to go in and do a transfusion, or maybe you need a new part of your body, maybe you need a new heart. All of that comes from what? Operational science. Happens in the present. It's repeatable. It's observable. It has benefited you and me greatly. But historical science, well, that's something that happened in the past. And it happened what? One time, like the Grand Canyon. Wasn't seen by anybody. And creation and evolution are stories about the past. I can't go back and prove to you in historical science either one is true or false. You can't do it. Why? We can't go back. What's the difference then between the natural man who doesn't know the Lord and me who knows the Lord? One difference. I've got the words of somebody who was there. And he told me what happened. And it changes my worldview, and it changes the way that I think. That when I begin to look at my world through the lens of Scripture, I use that as a starting point rather than secular humanism. And so, we all have the same facts. Amen?
Right.
Here it is. We got this. It's a fact, right? Facts what? They don't speak for themselves. All facts are interpreted. Whoa, that means I'm going to look at it starting with how I think in my mind. That's right. All facts are interpreted based upon what? Based upon presuppositions. Remember the silly thing I told you last year about this? I know that this is a nail. Yes, a nail from a mega velociraptor, 20 feet tall, found in Peru. This is a casting. It's a copy, okay? It's not the actual one. But it's that mega velociraptor. Here's what I don't know. Was it a male or a female? I don't know. So, based on a presupposition, you want to hear a real bad one? Here it is. This is the nail from a male mega velociraptor. How do I know? Doesn't have any nail polish on it. Right? Bad presupposition. I guess the Avon Mrs. Velociraptor never got around to this one. You see, and the presupposition is what? It's what's in your mind. That worldview, and you're going to take that worldview and you're going to interpret the evidence based upon how you think in your mind. I showed you the short quote of this the last time. I decided today I would give you the long quote. This is Dr. Richard Lewontin, professor of genetics at Harvard University. Listen to what he has to say regarding his bias against the Creator. This is a long quote, four slides. Ready? Our willingness to accept scientific claims that are against common sense is a key to understanding, it is a key to an understanding of the real struggle between science and the supernatural. We take the side of science in spite of the patent absurdity of some of its constructs, in spite of its failure to fulfill many of its extravagant promises of health and life. In spite of the tolerance of the scientific community for unsubstantiated just-so stories, because we have a priori commitment, a commitment to what? Materialism. That's molecules to man evolution. It's not that the methods and institutions of science somehow compel us to accept a material explanation of the phenomenal world, but on the contrary, that we are forced by our a priori adherence to material causes to create an apparatus of investigation and a set of concepts that produce material explanations, no matter how mystifying to the uninitiated. Moreover, that materialism is absolute, for we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. And you thought scientific things were all about finding answers with true science. No, they're not. Because why, Mr. Lewontin? Why no divine foot in the door? Because evolution says nobody owns me. I'm not accountable to anybody. Whereas the divine foot in the door says you're accountable to me. And that's what God's word says. And so they build these whole sets of science and theories and all this stuff, recognizing they're not going to look at the Word of God. I could preach for an hour and a half alone on what I just said in the last sentence, because our world is full of examples of how money and materialism has dominated the scientific field. Why? So that people, when they start talking about God, they lose their funding. They lose what they find. And yet, the farther science goes, the more it recognizes intelligence and the intelligent design of the world that we're in. That's what happens. It's warfare. It's spiritual warfare. That's what's going on. Why? To keep the minds of those who are uninitiated blind. Blind. So, here was the other quote I showed you. It's just a shorter version. A divine foot in the door. This quote I showed you last time came from the bigger quote. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Oh, and they're out there. They're all over the place. Doing what? They are willingly ignorant of. To be willingly ignorant, let me give you an example of that. Willing ignorance is like me standing up here and saying, man, I'm here in the room all by myself. Would I be ignorant? Absolutely. And yet we have people today that are willingly ignorant out of what? The heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water, it what? It perished. It perished. Why? Because what we see in God's word agrees with what we read in God's word. Excuse me, God's world agrees with what we read in God's word. I'll show you a few examples. So we look at the Grand Canyon, right? There's really two questions. Well, was it a lot of time and a little bit of water? Or was it a lot of water and a little bit of time? Right? Well, how long does it take to make a canyon? How many of you remember this, right? It doesn't take millions of years to make a canyon. It just takes what? The right conditions. Amen. And that's what I heard that man say the other day. Praise God. Why? Because this phrase right here can really impact your life. You're a student and you're in school. You're trying to find answers. Find out what the right conditions are to make your math problem work. Find out what the right conditions are to understand history. Find out what the right conditions are to make a cake or to drive a car or whatever you're trying to do. Why? Because that's what it takes to get the right outcome for what you're trying to understand. And if I want to understand how long it takes to make a canyon, I just need to look on the world today. And I'll just give you Mount St. Helens again. Here we are with this volcano that blew up in May 18, 1980. Scientists were all over this mountain. And this canyon right here didn't exist prior to the eruption. Now it exists today. Okay, it's called Engineers Canyon. It was formed by water pumped out of Spirit Lake over 29 months. 90 feet deep, hundreds of feet wide. It doesn't take millions of years to make a canyon. It just took what? The right conditions. So when I look on the surface of the earth, I could ask myself a question. What would it take to achieve the result that I'm seeing in front of me? Not fast enough for you? Here's the little Grand Canyon. Not 29 months, not 29 weeks, not 29 days, not 29 hours. It was created in about 4 or 5 hours on a mud flow on the 19th of March, 1982. And the bottom of this is basalt rock, hardest rock known to man, carved out over 30 feet deep. 1/40th scale the size of the Grand Canyon. It doesn't take millions of years to make a canyon. It just takes what?
The right conditions.
And so when I read stuff, I go to a museum and I keep hearing millions of years, red flag, red flag, red flag. Why? Because I understand it doesn't take millions of years for anything to happen. It just takes the right conditions. How long does it take to make rock layers? Does it take millions of years to make rock layers? No, it just takes the right conditions. Here we are in Mount St. Helens. This lady is standing at the altitude of what the land was before the volcanic eruption. The initial air blast filled it up that high. The next one came on June 2nd in 1980. About a 90-minute mud flow came through the area, filled it up even higher, and then 2 years later, this mud flow, and then the volcano had another event, and it created a canyon, and now we see a cross-section of what happened earlier. Three separate events, three layers. It doesn't take millions of years, just takes what? The right conditions. We look real close. Remember, all of this material is flowing at once. It's moving, and then it stops. Okay? Not one layer and another layer and another layer. And yet we look right here, see all those layers? We zoom in on it, we find microfine laminations, really tiny laminations. The crystals are going in different directions. And yet it didn't take millions of years, it just took what? It just takes the right conditions. Well, how long does it take to make a fossil? It doesn't take millions of years to make a fossil, it just takes what? the right conditions. How do I know? I look at the fossil record. Here's a fish. It got buried rapidly, and now it's a fossil. It's interesting if you look at this fish. Notice there's no deterioration anywhere on it. It didn't die and go to the bottom and sit there for a long time. It was buried rapidly. You can see how it was moving. The wiggle lines here as it got buried. There's no change in it at all. It didn't take millions of years for that to happen. It just took what? The right conditions. And by the way, this is identical to the flounder you catch today in the North Atlantic where I grew up. Here's a sack of flour, okay? Here it is. Whole sack of flour. Under ideal conditions, petrification could take place in as few as 3 weeks. You're looking at parts of petrified flour sacks from the Blue Spring Mill. That didn't take millions of years. It just took what? The right conditions. Here's the ichthyosaur. Notice it was fossilized. It got buried rapidly, and it's giving birth. Didn't take millions of years for anything. This is something I showed you last time. What's that? That's a petrified ham. It's a modern ham. See the stitching in it right here? It's amazing. Here's a hat from a mine in Tiwiara, New Zealand. It was buried in a volcanic eruption in 1886. 20 years later, they dug it up. It went from a felt hat and turned into a hard hat. Hard as rock. That'd take millions of years. It just takes what? The right conditions. A family in Australia going down on the beach with their kids, and they kick this rock. It's got a matchbox car in it. What's going on here? Your worldview is being influenced by what I'm showing you. That's what's going on. Here's a solid, this is a man-made pipe, and inside all this calcium has filled up the pipe till it's only that big. It formed in 3 months in laminated flowstone deposits. It doesn't take millions of years, folks, to see change in the world that we live in. It just takes the right conditions. And then the coelacanth. 340 million years old, they said, found in the same layers as dinosaurs. Yep, till they caught one off the coast of Madagascar in 1938. Yeah, a living fossil. You know how many living fossils there are in the world today? I'll tell you, in the same layers as dinosaurs, at a minimum, 87.8% of all the living animals on the earth today are found in the same layers as dinosaurs. Cats, dogs, ducks, raccoons, deer, bear, they're all there. And yet you've never heard about them. Why? Because there's a worldview out there that says it doesn't want you to understand the true history of the world. And that battle is against what? It's against the authority of the Word of God. And the more we look at our world, the more we find that what I see in my world agrees with the Word of God. That's what it keeps showing us. That's what I do as a speaker. I'm going to be talking about a bunch of different things. We're going to talk about the post-flood world tonight. What were some of those things that happened in the world so that you might understand the real history of the world a little better when it comes to certain areas in the Old Testament? Why? Because what we find in our world agrees with what we see in the history of the world as presented from the Word of God. And that is what we would expect to find if this is God's Word. So overall, my question to you is quite simple. Have you been evolutionized? All of us have been influenced by the secular world. We need to understand how some of that influence can take us to think the wrong way in a lot of places in our life if we're not careful. The other side of it is hey, how you doing on influencing your own life with the Word of God? Are you reading it? Are you studying it? Are you listening to it? Are you? Because if you are, I can tell you what's going to happen. You're going to grow. And you're going to grow. And after a while of growing, you're going to start glowing. Why? Because when you start reading the Word of God and you start understanding what God has done, His Spirit is inside you, you start thinking from a biblical worldview, you are going to stand out in this world like a lighthouse in a dark night. And people are going to realize the difference. How do I know? Because I've experienced it multiple times in my life, especially in the United States Navy when I got saved on the USS Benjamin Franklin, hull number 640. And we went out with 148 guys. And I went out with them for a year and a half as someone who didn't know the Lord. And then the Lord changed my life. And those men watched my life change. And I put away the things of the earth and I started learning the Word of God. And all of a sudden, the change was so incredible in my associations with them and how they looked at me and how they treated me. Some of the men treated me very aggressively. They didn't like the fact that I became a Christian. They were mad that I wouldn't go to places that they would go anymore. But then 1 or 2 years later, they started coming up to me asking for help. With what? With the sin problems that they had because of the way they were living. Why? Because I had peace. The Bible says the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall enrich your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How do I get Christ Jesus into my mind? From His Word. From His Word. Some of you need more of the Word. Why? So that you can have that peace. So that you can live and be more settled. Some of you need more of the Word and you need to take it and give it to others. Why? Because God put us here to be a witness to others. And He wants you to influence the Jerusalem right where you're at. I think we're going to do a message on that Monday or Tuesday night. We'll talk about creation and evangelism. Why? Because God loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Man, I want to see people have everlasting life. I'm going to close with this. Last week, I had a good friend who died. And I feel bad. Because I never told him. Some of you, you need to open your mouth. You need to start talking to people that you love before it's too late. Paul's gone. He's gone. I had a chance. I never took it. I don't want that to happen again. I want to try to influence people for the glory of God while I have time. And I want to help them understand these things because I believe it stops them from trusting the Lord. Their minds have been blinded by the world that we live in. And I've learned in my life, if I trust in the Lord, if I understand His Word, I can make sense of the world that I live in. I want them to understand that freedom. I want them to have that joy. I want them to have that right relationship with the Creator because He is who He said He is. And He's worthy of our praise. And He's worthy of our admonition and our glory. And He's worthy. And I hope that you'll take what I'm saying to heart and that you'll use the time that you have wisely. Because that's one thing we can never get back is time. So take the time that you have and use it wisely, that God might use you to influence others for His honor and glory. Let's bow our heads. Pastor's going to come, going to close our service. I hope that you'll consider what I've said today. I hope that you'll really recognize the authority of the Word of God. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will work in your heart. And if you don't know Him today, I pray that you'll make it right, that you'll come and trust Him. If you are a believer, you have sin in your life, I pray that you'll get it out, get it confessed, that God would use you to be a lighthouse right here in Fort Mill for His honor and glory. Pastor Jim.
Amen. Let's stand together.